Hi, and welcome to the Homeopathy Health Show here on the UK Health Radio Network. I'm Atiq.
And I'm Nyla.
We're both professional registered homeopaths, and between us have over 25 years of professional practice in this field of healing.
The Homeopathy Health Show is the voice of homeopathy on radio and podcasts around the world, promoting and raising awareness of this truly unique system of healing and healthcare, which is suitable for all ages, young and old.
Every week, we invite guests from the world of homeopathy to come and share their experiences, their work, offer insights, and essentially talk all things homeopathy.
Visit www.ukhealthradio.com to listen now. To find out more about us, you can visit us at www.homeopathyinpractice.co.uk. And whilst you are there, do subscribe to our newsletter.
Be inspired
and join the conversation.
So let's begin today's show here on the UK Health Radio Network, the world's number one talk health radio.
Real Feel Good Radio.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the award-winning Homeopathy Health Show here on the UK Health Radio Network and, of course, on all the major podcast platforms. Woohoo! And isn't that exciting, ladies and gentlemen? It is the best. I'm Atiq.
And I'm Nyla. Welcome, everyone.
This show really brings homeopathy to life, don't you think? We all agree, absolutely, and we're biased, and so what? That's life, and that's homeopathy. So much going on in the world of homeopathy at the moment, and if you're not aware, remember, Investigating Homeopathy, the series, is coming out very, very soon from the team that brought you the film Introducing Homeopathy, and if that wasn't enough, there is talk that there may actually be or should I say, homeopathy may be heading to Hollywood, but hey, let's see, okay? That would be wonderful. Can you imagine a movie or a film about the life of Samuel Hahnemann? Just amazing. And I actually think Nyla and I were speaking about this so much, and we do think it's going to happen. Don't you think, Nyla?
It is absolutely going to happen, and we need to take the world by storm.
Woohoo! Now, if that wasn't enough, life has become very, very busy, but if you're not aware, of course, Nyla and I are also the founders of Homeopathy in Practice, which is our online educational platform designed to help you excel in homeopathic knowledge. And if you want to learn more,
please visit www.homeopathyinpractice.co.uk, and you'll find a lot of free webinars to watch and get inspired about homeopathy.
Anyway, that's enough about us. Let's talk about our guest. Oh, my God. You know, you think every week we get excited with guests, but oh, my God, this is what they would call in America a slam dunk. Nyla, over to you.
I am so excited to introduce our guest today. I've been waiting for this episode for so long. Ladies and gentlemen, today on the Homeopathy Health Show, we are truly honored to welcome Dr. Jonathan Hardy, one of the most respected and influential figures in modern homeopathy. Dr. Hardy is a physician and homeopath with decades of clinical experience known worldwide for his pioneering work in expanding our understanding of remedy families, particularly the lanthanides and other lesser known groups that have transformed contemporary prescribing. And if you don't know about spider remedies, and you are not sure about when to prescribe which spider remedy, I'm sure prescribing tarantula every day will be quite boring, and sometimes it doesn't do the job. Get the spider remedy book from Dr. Jonathan Hardy. His approach beautifully bridges deep classical foundations with innovative clinical insight, helping practitioners understand the inner themes, identity struggles, and core experiences that lie at the heart of chronic disease. As a teacher, author, and clinician, Dr. Hardy has inspired homeopaths across the globe, bringing clarity to complex cases and opening new dimensions in materia medica and case analysis. In this episode, we explore his clinical approach, the evolution of remedy families, and how these insights are shaping the future of homeopathic practice. We are so pleased to have you with us. Welcome, Dr. Hardy.
Welcome. Woohoo!
Well, thank you very much, Nyla and Atiq, and hello, everybody. I don't think I've ever been given such a warm and enthusiastic welcome. So,
You
well,
deserve it. You absolutely do. Honestly, from the heart, what you do is phenomenal. It's amazing. It's so exciting.
you're very kind, and I hope I live up to my billing. But Nyla and Atik were just talking a moment ago about Hollywood and the possibility of homeopathy coming to Hollywood, and the life of Samuel Hahnemann. That's interesting because that is something I have thought about myself for quite a few years. It would be an amazing story, and I agree with Nyla. I think it is going to happen, and hopefully before too long.
It will happen. It will happen because homeopathy rocks, doesn't it? It's life-changing, it's life-giving, it's just magnificent.
It absolutely is. And a lot of very influential people have had homeopathic treatment over the years, and are having homeopathic treatment now. So I think it, and it is the medium, isn't it? Film is really the medium for communicating ideas. It is so much at the forefront of change, and it will be powerful and just a wonderful story, and encapsulating the whole essence of homeopathy, not just his lifetime he achieved in terms of, the first time he ever used homeopathy in that epidemic of scarlet fever and didn't lose a patient, whereas other, other hospitals were, and that's been replicated countless times for 200 years. But also the opposition, it just, encapsulates the whole story of homeopathy.
It is a phenomenal, isn't it? And what is, homeopathy is so just so all-encompassing. For want of a better word, it's we've spoken about this, and you mentioned, of course, the possibility of Hahnemann's life being celebrated. But then, at the moment, we see that times post-pandemic have changed so much for the better, and people are questioning everything. And it's such a plus point for homeopathy, isn't it? Such a plus point.
I think homeopathy is part of what people are looking for. I think we are entering a new age, according to, Indian cosmology. We're already in, but it's the early stages of Dwapara Yuga, which is the age of discovery and understanding of and using electrical and atomic energy. And homeopathy does that. Homeopathy acts on consciousness and on the vital energy, which is the subtle electricity in the body. So homeopathy is tailor-made to be a leading healing modality in this new age. So in a way, its future is assured, it's inevitable, like the birthing process, as any birthing process is painful and challenging, but the future is looking good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So beautifully said. Any birthing process is challenging, is painful, but when you evolve from that, the change is yours, the life is yours. And we want to, before we go on to anything else, we want to know, when did your birthing process as a homeopath happened? What brought you here to homeopathy?
I was lucky, Nyla, really, in that when I always wanted to be a doctor, well, from the age of 13. I had a very inspirational biology teacher, and he persuaded me to study zoology, and there somehow seemed to be a kind of inevitability to it. And even though I had, being a doctor in the back of my mind, I kind of went with it. And that's been very, very good to have that zoological scientific background. And but after I'd finished that degree, I realized what I really wanted to do was be a doctor, so I went to medical school. But even then, before I even went for my interview, went to the local library and thought, okay, I need to read some medical books before I go to the interview. And I pulled down the book on alternative medicine. So, and in my third year, did an elective of the Royal London Homeopathic Hospital, fourth year research project into homeopathy. So I was already a, a kind of underground homeopath. And I was lucky I was invited to join a homeopathic clinic after I'd done my hospital jobs and registered as a doctor. And so kind of learned homeopathy in an apprentice-like setting. So it was a natural kind of process. And but then pretty soon after I started practicing homeopathy, I felt you can't have your feet in two different boats. And I saw that if you're really going to practice homeopathy at a deep level, it's a complete shift in approach, shift in consciousness, which is different to the conventional model. Like the reductionist conventional model has value, it's important, we need it, but it's just very different to homeopathy, which is why they complement each other, because of the difference. They're working on, we work on consciousness and energy. Conventional medicine is a material modality, so they're complementary.
So beautifully said there.
It is transformative, and there's a disparity, isn't it? Because when we look back, post maybe a decade after the passing of Dr. Samuel Hahnemann, when we look at all the homeopaths, Beuricke, Bonninghausen, Kent, and so on and so forth. But we also look at Tesla, for example, who said everything. If you want to know, if you want to understand humanity, or you want to understand a human being, it's look at frequency and vibrations and harmonics and resonance, etc. They lay these foundations, and then there was Dr. William Koch who, as well, who did some research, and so many others, of course. I'm just mentioning a few. They laid the foundations for even conventional medicine. And all of a sudden, it was like, well, yeah, the foundations are there. It's a beautiful building because it works. But the hallway is too long. So let's leave that and let's make a new one, which is where the hall is a bit short, where the route is a bit shorter. And it's like, but the foundations that were built up over decades, the wisdom, the knowledge. I mean, Dr. Hardy, when we look at just the German homeopaths, the founders almost, because obviously it started with Hahnemann from Germany, and it was just talk about knowledge, talk about empowerment, talk about wisdom. It's profound, wasn't it, what they came up with? James Tyler Kent teaching in a classroom with no lighting and talking things which today don't make sense, and you think, wow, that is a mind and a half.
I couldn't agree more. I think we're standing on the shoulders of giants. And, the men who came with a mission, of course, Hahnemann, but, many of the others, as you mentioned. I think homeopathy is not an accident. Homeopathy is an important part of this new age we're entering, and some great souls have incarnated to facilitate the establishment of homeopathy. And including people who are alive now and working now, in my view. If you look at somebody like Jan Scholten, this is a great mind. This is someone whose mind is attuned to the causal level, the level of archetypes. I often, if I'm, teaching on cases and say on the lanthanides, as Nyla mentioned, and you see a case, and it's almost like out of the book by Jan Scholten, the expressions, the words, the ideas, the themes in their life. You say, how does he do that? Well, it's because he's attuned to that level of archetypes. That this is a great mind. This is not an ordinary mind. And so I don't think a science as profound, broad-reaching as homeopathy could be established without people like Jan and Raj and Sankara. I'd include in that and Manjula and others, and of course those going back through 200 years. I don't think it could be established without the contribution from
the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Absolutely, cannot agree more, because yes, the scriptures are there, yes, the teaching was there, but if that teaching was not revived in modern age, in modern language, in modern practice, we would not be homeopaths. I might not be a homeopath now, treating people with the knowledge, with the wisdom that people like you have given us. Like, we grab the books Jan Scholten has written, we grab the books you have written, we grab the books Dr. Sankaran has written, and then we use the points. Okay, yes, they have seen this in their practice. I'm seeing this in my practice. I should take on the wisdom and prescribe the remedy. And who knows who from us is going to maybe pass it on to the future. And that is the whole purpose of doing this podcast and also the masterclasses that we do, to record the wisdom of people who have spent their life, who have done all the research, who have brought the knowledge onto paper, to bring it onto the screen and voice it in and capture it in their voice, their passion for the students of tomorrow.
Yes, and I think an important part of this process is basically penetrating to the essence of these concepts, because homeopathy can be completely overwhelming if you're just working on the level of phenomena, the level of the outer expression. You just get buried in an avalanche of data. It's overwhelming and you don't know where you are. And actually that applies to life as well. And you know, how do we as human beings navigate through life? It's through actually getting some understanding of the essence of the invisible reality that lies behind this visible unreality, this kind of chaos of phenomena that we live in. And so what am I talking about? What I mean is that, you know, Nyla was talking about spider remedies and tarantula, and we could easily just end up prescribing tarantula every time we think it's a spider. And if you do a proving, whatever the remedy group, in general, you would probably find that 80% of the information that comes through in a proving is not unique to that remedy. It's common to the group that remedy comes from. So therefore 80% of what in the past we would say is tarantula is not tarantula at all, it's spider. For example, that lovely rubric, hurry, everybody must hurry. Every spider should be in that rubric, because they all feel the same. It's like, don't hold me up, hurry up, I can't bear to not be moving. I'm at A, I need to be at B as fast as possible. Don't hold me up. That's part of the spider state. And of course, there are many other spider symptoms like restless legs and twitching and making fun of people. It's all common spider. It's not just tarantula. Every remedy group's the same. And the beauty of it is that half of that stuff is just common sense. So when we're talking about remedy group themes, half of it is our common knowledge, and knowledge that we would know from, you know, basic understanding of chemistry or biology or psychology. And Therefore, it's easily assimilated. And the other half, can be learned because there's the themes, they have a kind of rhythm and sense to them, which makes it easy to assimilate. I've had people come up to me and say, Jonathan, I've read hundreds of books of homeopathy and I still don't get it. And, that's tragic. Why not? Because they haven't assimilated the information. It's like they've stayed on the surface of just the phenomena. But when the books that I've written and I write are basically focusing on source language, sensation language, and the common themes. The common themes of the common pathologies, common expressions, common characteristics, and then the sensation, the source material is the deepest of all, and that material speaks directly of the source. It's the most reliable if you can elicit it. And really, I don't consider I've got a totality of symptoms in a case unless I've elicited that. Not that you can always, but ideally you will. And why is it the most reliable? Because it's intuitive knowledge. And intuition's never wrong. When people are talking source language and they're talking about sensation, that's not an emotion, it's not a rational. The only faculty we have that can actually connect with that level of experience is intuition. And that's the beauty of, that's why it's so exciting, because intuition thrills the soul. Because intuition is the faculty of the soul. It's the all-knowing faculty of the soul, and the soul loves to use intuition. It loves to connect with the essence, with archetypes, because that's the realm it lives in. It lives in that non-material realm, which is the invisible real. Real because it's permanent and perfect compared to this material world we live in, which is imperfect, impermanent, always changing, and unreliable, which the one thing we can rely on in this world actually is it'll disappoint us. That's the brutal truth, both in homeopathy, if we get stuck at that level, but in life generally. And that's, for me, that's when homeopathy becomes just beautiful. It's exciting. And when patients are operating at that level, it's healing for them, and then it's thrilling for the homeopath. And you have that, get to that point, that deep sense of knowing that this is the remedy that person needs.
It is that, isn't it? It's you've so beautifully and eloquently said this, that it is that depth. The body cannot lie to us. We cannot, if we're true to ourselves, if we really are, honestly, hand on our heart, we cannot let ourselves down. We know what's right, and where we need to seek help. And we know that if we didn't, for example, have symptoms, how would we know we're sick? How would we know something bad is going to happen? The body can't hurt you. It loves itself, but not in a selfish way, right? It loves us, however that expression is. I'm sure you can come up with better words than I am, that we love ourselves. It's the body, isn't it? It loves itself. It's such a perfect mechanism. It's just unbelievable, isn't it? And here we get one drop diluted just on the tongue, rubbed on the gum, or just dissolved on the tongue, let's say. And it's like, hello, here's the signal.
You're right, Atik. I like that expression where you say the body cannot lie. That's an expression I use too. It's totally true. And when we're talking about body language and encouraging people to really, when they see the patient beginning to gesture, say, hold on to that, because the gesture makes a comment 1,000 times more important. And as an example, Teague says the body doesn't lie. If you're in the car and you're driving and you don't know where you're going, and your passenger is giving you directions, and they say, turn left, and their hand indicates right, you turn right.
Yeah,
Right?
for
Every
sure.
time. And the body doesn't lie, and the body does what it's told. And I say to people, your body can't make you ill. The body doesn't make itself ill. It does what it's told according to our consciousness and our life energy. Because the body is an inert thing. Without our consciousness and life energy, the body has no life of its own. And, more than that, the consciousness and life energy actually creates the physical body. It creates and sustains the physical body. The sages of India say that the soul enters into the embryo at the point of conception. It's at that moment that sperm fertilizes the egg, and that ovum, that first single cell, is enlivened. That's when the soul enters the embryo. It has to, because it can't be any other way, because it's the consciousness and life energy provided by the soul that actually causes the development of the embryo and directs it according to the karmic pattern that the soul brings with it when it's incarnating. And that's an incredible thought, isn't it? Because it means that at all stages, soul is, with its life energy, is creating our physical body. And all the intelligence, in it, circulating blood and eliminating waste and building tissues, etc., it's coming ultimately from the soul. And that's why homeopathy is a spiritual science, because it's operating on our consciousness and our life energy. You could say the spiritual vehicles. Your spiritual self is the soul, but consciousness and life energy, the vehicles through which the soul operates. So it's beautiful. Another reason why it's thrilling, because this physical world is a painful place for the soul to be in. And the sages also say, without sleep, life will be unbearable. The real reason we need to sleep is not so much to rest the physical body, it's because if we sleep, at least to some degree peacefully, the soul rests for a time in super consciousness. And that is a necessary relief from the unbearable physicality of this material world. Which is why, meditation and other deep spiritual practices are so beneficial.
I also think when you talked about intuition, it just felt like coming home, because intuition has been part of me since I was studying homeopathy, and I couldn't understand the energy that was coming. I could feel the energy, could feel the atmosphere. And now when patients come into my practice, and I know, okay, this person is l really living on the physical level, and I have to somehow reach the core, because they are not reaching their core. And we are kind of in the first two consultations, we are trying to build the relationship and give the remedies that will help them move forward. And then something shifts, and that is the time when their energy touches mine, and I get these goosebumps, and I feel like now it's the core. Now I have to go and find and research the very remedy that they need. And the transformation that happens after that is so beautiful. It's like they connect with themselves, and most of them, they go back to their form of meditation because that gives them peace. They mostly, the people who feel this level of healing within themselves, will say that they have started feeling the connection with the higher power, with and that is giving them this lasting peace. So important how what you have said, it's spiritual science. It's the science to connect you with you actually, who you
That's good.
are.
That's beautiful, Nela. I really like what you said about that process, you know, of you have, you know, several consultations and then there's that deep connection. I think what is happening there is, you know, we're talking about intuition and connecting with the source and going deep. How do you facilitate that process? And I think there are a number of ways, like externally, it's like creating, you know, intuition arises naturally when we're deeply calm. And so we need to facilitate a sense of calmness in the patient. And, you know, they need to be comfortable, they need to feel safe, they need to feel secure, need to be no time pressure. They also need to feel completely trusted by, you know, trusting you. And how do we facilitate that? It's having a position of compassion and non-judgment so that they know at a deep level that whatever they share will only be used for their benefit. You know, that you're coming not from a critical point of view, but saying, how can I help this soul, this suffering soul? Because we're all suffering. You know, if we're stuck in a physical body in this material world, we're all suffering. And when people come to us, usually it's because they don't just want to stop feeling pain, they actually want to heal. You know, that's why people seek holistic medicine, whether they know it consciously or not. And that's a very noble objective. You know, that's a spiritual ambition to actually heal, move forward in their soul's journey, and not, you know, like Atika is saying, you know, the physical body doesn't lie. You know, when it's in pain, it's telling us something. Yes, and you know, if you've got a machine and the warning light comes on, and you just turn the warning light off, you know, you're courting disaster, aren't you? And it's the same, you know, with our physical and mental health. If the warning lights are flashing, you want to find the reason not to turn the warning light off.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach. Here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And but the deepest way to facilitate patients going deep, because that's a question people often ask, how do you get people to, you know, go to the source? And But the deepest way is to use intuition yourself, because that's what's happening in Nyla's consultations, you know, with her patients. She's gradually helping them to go deeper because she's bringing that faculty to the interaction. Because whatever faculty we're using, we're resonating, that bring to greater expression that faculty and person we're with.
It's homeopathy is medicine for the soul. It's beautiful, and going from what Nyla said and what you've just added as well, it's just, I mean, we can talk about this, can't we, just until the cows come home, as they say, you know, because it's never ending. It's so incredible. And we were talking earlier in this episode about how knowledgeable the founding fathers were, you know, and Hahnemann. That was a God-given gift. That wasn't chance or probability, you know. Somebody who was so persecuted, who was so ridiculed and sworn at, and we've, you know, all the things, and moving house, and we didn't have cars and removal companies. You're talking a wagon, and he's lugging his stuff around, and a frail old man. Yes, albeit he had a bit of a temper, but can't blame him, right, because of what had happened to him. And he was outspoken, wasn't he, Nyla? And he was assertive. And look, he still left the greatest possible gift to humanity as far as self-awareness and self-healing. He's like, there you go. He never gave up, even in Paris, to his last breath. He carried on. I mean, wow. You know what we're talking about? It's just, wow, isn't it? Like, there you go. I'm not going to give up. No one is going to shut me down.
Yeah. This reminds me of what you have said about your journey. Like, that book of alternative medicine coming into your hands. What if that didn't happen? The journey might have gone different way, in different directions. Like, this is some force want Jonathan Hardy to be a homeopath, to be a person who will be studying these remedies, studying something and bringing something to the future generation of homeopathy. It's, yes, it could be a chance, but there is something higher working there who wants you to talk in your medium, in your way, in your language, and communicate it.
I love that, Nyla, and I have no doubt that, you know, the divine has definitely wants homeopathy, you know, established, and I am sure that it has actually a much greater. I think the divine is much more hands-on in our lives than we realize. But even my limited understanding, I can think of many examples of where I've been helped and guided, and you know, the synchronicities have been so extraordinary. You just have to surrender to it and say, I'm definitely not alone here. I've just got to, you know, be calm, get the ego out of the way, and allow this incredible intelligent force to work through me as much as it wants to, and guide me. And without that guidance and support, I don't think I could have done it.
There was this beautiful reel on social media. Yes, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, we do scroll through social media, like it or not. Okay, but that's reality. But hey, if you've had a look recently, there are some beautiful, beautiful homeopathic-related videos and posts on Facebook. Do join our Facebook group, of course. Hey, I'm plugging it. I know Homeopathy in Practice. And also visit us on our Instagram at Homeopath Nyla and at @like_treats_like. But it's just so the video in mention was, it really brought home that moment where you think it's so true that there was a video of all the beauties of nature. And it was a very simple caption, and it said, God has given us everything free, and yet we still want more. And that was it, you know, and that really hit me, because from a homeopathic mind, I thought, yeah, nature's free, which means homeopathy is technically free, right? If you know what I mean, in the grand scheme of things.
Everyone can succuss a
Everything.
remedy. Everyone can make a remedy. Succuss it at home. Take it. It's medicine for yourself.
And we still want more, more, more. More of what? What more do you need? You know, it's anyway, I digress.
Lovely to digress, isn't it? But yes, it's so beautiful.
Have to say here, sorry, Nyla, I have to say here, this I just feel this is the perfect time, and I know I can feel it from you as well, that we want him to take this opportunity at this moment in time to honor you, to show you the utmost respect, and to say thank you for your services to humanity in the field of homeopathy, because what you have given has probably changed so many lives, Dr. Jonathan Hardy. So thank you from the bottom of our heart, from the listeners of the Homeopathy Health Show, and from the homeopathic community, because it means a lot. This is why we were so excited to have you on, to capture your voice, to capture your essence and your knowledge. And thank you. Thank you for everything that you do and you will continue to do.
Well,
Thank
you're
you.
very kind, Atika. I'm not sure I deserve such praise, but I've done my best and I've kept going. And that makes me mindful of two things. You know, when you're talking again about Samuel Hahnemann's life and the opposition he faced, you know, people sometimes say, you know, why is there so much opposition to homeopathy? And, you know, the kind of frequent answer is, oh, you know, big pharma hates it, and you know, that isn't the reason. It's more profound, in some ways more disturbing than that, in that, and it is to do with the fundamental duality which underlies our physical creation. You cannot have a material world without duality. Otherwise, it's just white on white. You have to have black and white. The moment that the divine wanted to create, it created the first fundamental vibratory pattern. You know, the word, the Om, the Amen, is a vibration of alternating waves. And those alternating waves are black and white, good and evil. When did evil begin? The moment creation began. And as Newton's third law tells us, there is no single force in creation. There is always an equal and opposite reaction. And you can judge how powerfully good the force is by how powerfully bad the reaction is against it. And you know, if you look at the greatest ones who have walked this earth, you know, Krishna, Jesus Christ, the Buddha, Moses. If you look at those beings, you know, if you look at Christ's life and Krishna's life and Moses, in all three cases, those divine incarnations, the dark force tried to kill them at birth, literally tried to kill them at birth. And so, why was Samuel Hahnemann hounded across Europe? Is because the dark force knew just how good what he wanted to bring was. And that's still going on now. Not consciously. You know, the critics don't read the stuff, you know, the critic stuff. You know, it'll just depress you. They don't, you know, they're not consciously embracing evil. They're just ignorant. It's not really their fault. You know, we're still steeped in dark age consciousness. You know, the polarity, the reason why everything's so polarized right now is because the tension between going into this new, more spiritual age, relatively more, not that much more yet, but with the dark age that we're coming out of, is so huge that that's where this polarization is really coming from. That's why things are right now almost unbearable, aren't they? The
They
sense
are.
of tension that
Then
right now,
you can cut it with a knife, can't you? Everybody is, you know, if I dare say, but it's almost like everybody's so angry. There's so much anger, and people are not aware from where it comes. Where does it stem from? There's just anger. There's a lot, and there's disparity as well, and there's being disheartened and not knowing. So many people come, don't they, Jonathan, to our consults, and they say, "Who are we? I want to know who I am. I don't know. Can you help me? Can you tell me what am I supposed to be doing?"
And that is precisely part of the age we're coming into. The reason all the old structures and conventions are falling down is because this high vibration of consciousness is coming in. So people want to answer exactly that question that Atika's mentioned. What is life for? What am I? Who am I? Actually, they want a deeper personal experience of their soul and of the divine. They may not realize it, but that is what people are wanting now. And homeopathy can be part of that process because it invites people to become aware of their deeper state. And I'm sure we've all seen cases where people have had a profound homeopathic healing, and it has been such a profound experience. Because actually, they become aware of the non-material side of their reality. When you experience a healing, maybe it was a direction of cure, things disappearing down the body or coming out to the surface. And it's like, wow, what is this? There's more to me than this physical body. It can be a point of spiritual awakening. It's not a spiritual process, per se. But it's like halfway there, and it opens people up spiritually.
It's so rightly said here, the point of spiritual awakening, because when we are more connected to who we actually are, instead of just performing to the duties of the world and being part of this machine, and I feel like this world has become a machine, and we are all becoming that one part, and that one part has to function from 9 to 5, and then the part can rest because the machine is turned off. If we need to see who are we apart from this machine, why are we here? What are we doing? It's absolutely okay to be that part who is helping the machine to work, but we need to be happy about it. We are not happy about it. That's why there is a plethora of illnesses around us. Body is just giving up. I cannot take it anymore. The autoimmune conditions are rising. Cancer is rising. Okay, we can blame it on this or on that, but it's my body that is rejecting these forces, these energy patterns that are thrown upon me from the outside, and my soul is not recognizing those because I'm not at peace. And
Oh, it's beautifully said.
when I'm at peace, then all these things will not bother me. Even that cancer or that tumor that is in my body can be non-existent, cannot hurt, cannot be painful. If my back hurts, that person's back hurt, but one of them is doing everything from morning till evening to make that back feel better. He cannot sleep, oh, my back hurts. He cannot sit, my back hurts, because everything is about back. But he needs to go and see what is actually that is affecting the back. Don't suppress the pain. Go back to the pain-causing mechanism. Maybe you are in the wrong machine. You need to go into the other machine.
That was deep, Naila,
It was
wasn't it?
Where
Beautiful.
did I go there?
Love that.
But that is happening. I'm very passionate about teenagers, and I'm seeing the divide between the spiritual being and they are energetic, they are spiritual, they have this imagination, and now they're bombarded with so much information that we didn't have when we were children. All we wanted to do was play, eat, I'm safe at home, I'm sleeping in my house, and I can worry about playing tomorrow. Now they have to take the burden of the whole universe. This is happening in this country. This isn't happening in that country. Will I be safe? And that is causing anxiety, huge anxiety. Teenagers, they are talking about anxiety. It was unheard of. 10 years ago, even, it was unheard of. And this is, I have a younger children and they talk about their friend suffering. And this touches me deeply. Is it not because of we don't know where we are going? We think maybe more money, bigger house, a nice car will give me happiness. But once I have it, I will feel like, oh, that was not the true happiness. The true happiness was somewhere else that I have left behind. I think this is what homeopathy does. If they, at the right time, come to a homeopath, it will help them. Like, they have to recognize themselves with whatever means. We are just going to channel the thoughts. We are just going to give this catalyst that will awaken the inner forces, or that will help them just be themselves. They don't have to prove anyone that they are perfect. They are going with the crowd. They have to just be themselves. And that's what this
I do is. Hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Homeopathy Health Show. Tune in every week for inspiring conversations, bringing you all things health and well-being to your radio and podcast apps.
The more exposure the Homeopathy Health Show receives, the better for homeopathy around the world.
And please do support the show by clicking follow on our socials.
You can find us at www.homeopathyinpractice.co.uk and on Facebook and Instagram at Homeopathy in Practice. Do give us a follow on there. Let's promote the voice of homeopathy around the world together. Until next time, stay safe and take care.